Bacchettina la name two is from Rainbow. Is that two months? Not true from where I am, but we were hoping as well to meet with the minister to check out if that is true. Now what I'm saying is that the board is is a new, so that's what I wanted to know. The content of that, I don't know what is the content, but what I wanted to know is really another board to pass it. Okay, then without any waste of time, then we then hand over the board to take us through their presentation.
And the total that we have here is about 14.1%. looking at the weighted target that we were actually proposing. What we put here is just for the members to actually have an appreciation that from 2004 to 2009, there has always been a more than the approach target for rainwater has always been below the cost of raw water. And I'm not even talking about the additional cost, the internal inflation that we have at rainwater. It's only in 2006 that we got an approval of a target that's above our own cost, so to speak, the total cost of purifying water. Now, looking at our plan going forward, this is our projection as far as CPIS is concerned, as far as energy, chemicals, and labor. And what you see there as project expenditure is what we need to plan to spend on capital expenditure for new infrastructure, or even looking at maintaining or actually augmenting the infrastructure that we have. And below, in terms of the sensitivity analysis, is the projected revenue, that's not the income. And as one can see, the income is actually going the wrong way, so to speak. So we will be forced, if one looks at this slide, to actually go into the market by 2011 on that basis. The tariff impact on long-term financial viability of rainwater. As illustrated, net income projected to fall from, for last year it was 808 million. For 2009, for this year, we're projecting it to come down to 654. And if our projections are correct, by 2010, we'll only have a net income of around 320 million. And based on that, rainwater will be forced to raise around 3 billion in the next 5 years in the market. And I think this point has been made by some of the other water boards. And what we have here is a comparative tariff, given the fact that ours has been limited to about 8.3. Some of our bigger customers, these are the percentages that they actually are on top of the tariff that has been imposed on our area of supply, specifically. But one point that I need to make, especially thinking about the amount of money that Renault will have to raise in the market, we say 3 billion, and before we're saying 5 billion, but because of the tariff that has been allowed for us, depending on what happens for next year, it would mean that we would have to look at our capital infrastructure spend as well and have to reduce that based on the fact that we won't be able to afford it. And what I need to say as well is we've had discussions with the rating agencies, because what we've done is we maintained that relationship because we knew we would be going in the market too. And at this particular point in time, we are on a negative watch. On all the government institutions, Renote is actually the only government institution that has the same rating as the sovereign. All other ones are one below. So I'm raising this point so that people understand that even if we have to go into the market, that cost would have to be absorbed somewhere. And in this particular case, it might have to be through tariffs. And this slide is what we put up on the basis also of some of the discussions that came yesterday. The only point that I need to make to the house is there has to be an understanding that each water board faces different dynamics, which makes direct comparison difficult. Like we said, in terms of where we are, because our water is being drawn from another country and it has to be moved into the valuable stream, our major cost driver is actually the transportation. And we should be different from other people. And because we are about 60 kilometers away from our water course, that would be the cost of water is different. So, and I think each of the water boards would have a very different view as well in terms of their cost and what challenges they have. So I think it's important for all our members to also look at that and understand all the different dynamics per water board. With regard to outstanding debt from municipalities, there has been a proposal by Rainwater to the portfolio committee before that there has to be policies and procedures that are formulated to actually deal with the perpetual non-performing municipalities. Because in our view, the primary reason why some of the water boards are not able to actually perform is because they don't get payment for the necessary rendered. If that can be sorted out, I think that would help. And we are really asking the involvement of the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee to actually have a look at this. There was a point that was made also by the department, and I must say that is correct. One thing that the regulator was not able to do correctly has been the ability to spend all the capital expenditure that they put aside. But what we did now on the left is just a slide that shows the amount of money that has been spent on CPEC. So I must say that on that particular issue, the department was right that to some extent there has been request to get particular tariffs, but the ability to spend the money that has been put aside has not been like that. But what we're projecting on the basis of the year and the financial year and the CSAB is we would have spent the CAPEX as we had budgeted. So there is an improvement in that. But what we also want to say is we are at a cycle where we need to make a lot of more investment going into the future. So it's important that the clarity on where are we going to get the money and what at what cost and whether how much of that would we be able to recover through the tariffs. On the right hand side is just a graph that shows the business requirements. And as one can see, from around 2010, the business requirement versus the revised CAPEX is quite clear that we now have to reduce on some of the projects that we need to do on the basis of our ability to fund them. And the challenges going forward, we are experiencing steep increases in input costs, specifically in steel and energy. And unlike other areas as well, we don't have the luxury of gravity where water is actually going in a particular manner, we just kept cutting it. Because our customers are on a steep gradient, with energy plays a big role because we have to pump our water about 50 kilometers from our water course, which is the Valdivia Sea. Implementation of the new tariff structure and methodology, I think there has to be a clearer understanding as we go forward from a point of view of how that gets done. Rollout of capital expenditure program within resource constraints, I think that's a challenge that most of us have. Raising funds effectively in financial markets that are in turmoil. We all understand what is happening in the international market at this particular point in time. And maintaining and improving Renault's risk profile. Like I said, at this particular point in time, we are on negative watch due to what the rating agencies look at as imposed tariffs. But I have been told as well that they are planning to also engage with government to actually get an understanding of is it a one-off or how is the relationship going to be going forward. Because if you go into the market, their interest is how safe is their money and how quickly can they recoup their investment.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you very much. That was Ryan Walter. A good presentation for Wednesday morning. Especially when you wanted to go back to wherever it comes from. And I said, no, stay over. It's good that you take over because we had a very healthy presentation. Let us take in Gail then. In Gail.
Because the chairperson, honorable members, my name is Andy Masaluke, I'm the chairman of Ungeni Water. In fact, it's a new board that officially starts today. Let me just take this opportunity to introduce the team that's going to lead the further presentation. By the CEO, Zenkulu Siwa, together with the CFO, Luki Khevan, as well as the General Manager for Corporate Services, Pudian Kwala. With that, Chair, I'll hand over to them.
Technology is trying to save us at a very crucial moment.
Thank you very much, Chair. Good morning, members of Parliament, colleagues from Water Board, and officials from the Department. Our presentation is going to be geared to answer the critical issues that the Portfolio Committee sent to us. So the outline of the presentation, we are going to talk about those bullet points, the establishment and area of operation, income levels of the different areas, challenges and achievements in terms of service level agreements, tariff charge consultation process, long-term recommendations to improve efficiency of water boards, and our view of water boards falling under different ministries. So we'll talk to all those areas. Just for the record, Dungeni Water is 35 years old. It was established in terms of the then repealed Water Act of 1956 and was deemed to be established in terms of the Water Services Act of 1997. The area of operation, as you can see, is the dark area. Definitely, there are some areas in KwaZulu-Natal that have got high poverty levels that were actually not covering the Dungeni Water. They are not in our area of supply at the present moment. Just to give you the landscape of the area in which we are operating. We've got Ugu. Ugu has got about six local municipalities falling under them. The populations of the various local municipalities are also indicated on that slide. But most importantly is the right-hand column, which still shows the percentage of people that are getting water from the rivers and the streams. And I think the aggregates at times mask the real challenge. Because if you look at Umzumbe and Wabandu are the most distressed areas in terms of water provision. The same thing again at Ilembe. If you look at the four local municipalities that are falling under Ilembe, the most distressed areas are the local municipalities of Ndwetwe and Mafumulo, where about 61% of the people are still getting water. Now, naturally, in our business, then, which we're situated here, we are responding and rising up to that challenge, but we will discuss that in the annual report tomorrow. Kungundogu has got sort of the same situation. If you're looking at the aggregate of people that are getting, you think that only 5.65. When you dig deeper, Mkambatini and Mshwadi local municipalities, and that's where we need to be targeting and our priorities and focus. You're looking at Sisonge, that is the worst sort of status area. And I think, again, people will remember that, you know, the bringing in again of Umzimkulu and reincorporation of Umzimkulu into KwaZulu-Natal. With its vast rural sort of base, has actually made Mzimkulu has got about 55% of the people still getting their water from rivers and streams. Naturally, we need to respond to that particular challenge in terms of our priorities. And looking at income levels of the municipalities, the approach that we've taken is actually to say, let's understand the trading accounts of these the water trading accounts of these municipalities, because they give us a view as to how we need to negotiate tariffs. The point has already been made by the portfolio committee that as we put our increases, we need to look at the impact at the end user. Now, the best way to look at that is look at how healthy is the water trading account of those municipalities. Now, Ethekwini has got an operating income of about 2.6 billion, that's their water trading account, and of which 295 of that is in terms of grants and subsidies that are coming in from the various levels of government. The bulk purchases is about 956 million rand. But the water trading account is in deficit of about 61 million. So when we have to negotiate tariff increases, we must also be mindful that there are people that are unable to actually afford water at a table as big as it is, and that's why that service is running at a deficit. The other one that's running at a deficit is Ilembe. And again, if you look at the present, at the slides that I spoke to about people that are still getting water from the rivers, you then start to see the challenges and the approach that you need to take that. You can't take a cost recovery approach to tariff increases. You've got to deal with issues of a sustainable tariff as a basis and take a long-term view. The challenges and achievements in terms of service level agreements, I'm happy to report to the committee that five of our major customers, we've got just about 20 year back supply agreements. That actually sends a very positive signal in terms of the rating agency and how we need rated and its ability to actually raise finance. Because there is assurance out there in the market that we are in a long-term business. And naturally, the business that we are in is a business that is characterized by immobile infrastructure. It's unlike a spaza shop that you can move it to another corner. Once you put that pipeline, it sits there. Durable, immobile, so the decisions that you've got to take have got to be long-term, and they've also got to be supported by very strong corners. Otherwise, your ability to pay is going to chop and change. Service providers are going to be trapped, they're going to be sitting in that thing. I will touch on this matter later on. We still have a challenge with Musulu, the local municipality, in terms of converting to agreements that meet the Municipal Finance Management Act. We have got agreements in perpetuity, which is in contravention of the Municipal Finance Management Act, because municipalities are required to have term contracts, not contracts in perpetuity. We are starting then, of course, to convert that process. Mngeni's tariff methodology, as I've indicated, we take a 10-year view of the business at Mngeni Water in driving our tariff. And we also want to balance the issue that says we need to minimize the impact of the tariff, because you can't get today's consumers paying for tomorrow's consumers. So the issue of actually smoothing out sort of our tariff for sustainability becomes a very important thing. We're not on cost recovery, we're on a sustainable tariff, and that's why our tariff methodology speaks to that. Sustainable tariff over the time, so that at the end of the day, we make the cost of water affordable to community. The legislative framework for tariff setting, I would like to report to this committee that is fully compliant with Section 42, the Treasury Circular number 3, and the Public Finance Management Act. What has been our tariffs over the past 5 years? We have got two types of tariffs, Category A and Category B tariffs. Category A tariffs are applicable to a Tegwine, and again, because Category B are applicable to a Tegwine, and Category A to the others. The reason for that differentiation was is a relationship issue, that customers that take about 80% of your volume, that also help you to invest in poorer areas, need to be given some form of credit and recognition for that. The differential, as you see, it is very little. I'm saying 322 against 328. Our tariff increases over the past years have all been below the inflation. In particular, I think when we did quite well last year, we were on record as having passed a 2% tariff increase, which was unheard of. But that was our way of being recognizing and making sure that the people and the poor people are able to access water. The achievements and challenges during the consultation process. You know, we had about four different meetings with our customers, stretching from the 5th of November to the 13th of November. Our first proposal was to put up a tariff increase of 8.5% if the volumes that they were taking were going to exceed what they had indicated in terms of our service level agreement. And if the volumes had not met what was in the service level agreement, we would then settle for the 10.5% increase. Naturally, Tegwine came back and some substantive issues were raised. I think one of them was to say, Tegwine are preparing for the 2010 World Cup. They are busy doing a lot of infrastructure upgrades on the roads, on the stadium, and that total load is carried by the same consumer. So if they're doing it, we also come up with a very high tariff. It's going to make it totally impossible for the poor consumer to actually make that. And we are then agreed, and also they were also addressing a very critical important thing, the unaccounted for water. Because the Tegwine has got a very high unaccounted for water. I think the water losses are around about 25 to 30%. So when they indicated to us that they were putting investment to actually get that right, we felt that that was good for the sector, because it would mean delayed water resources in infrastructure investment, and then less alone on the fiscal pressure. So we then got into a consensus that we would accept 6.5, and that's what we took to National Treasury and to the department. And that has not even been changed by the minister. So our tax increase was 6.5%. Naturally, there are consequences about that. Some of them relate maybe to delaying slightly our capital expenditure program, shifting some of the things. We've got bullet payments that are due next year. And to meet both the bullet payments and the lower tariff increases, it means to say that we've got to reorganize the business. The other important point that's coming in is the pressure that has been put by the Spring Grove Dam in terms of the raw water pricing strategy. Most of the raw water resources that the department is building now is building them on a basis of an off-balance-sheet model. Now, this puts a lot of pressure because that cost, as indicated by Rand Water, needs to be passed on to the consumers. Now, if that dam is built, it was initially envisaged that about 6 years ago it was going to cost 350 million rand. The latest estimate indicates now that that dam will cost about 2 billion rand. And to pass that cost on to the consumers will totally sort of destroy our tariff base and increase. It's not going to be possible to do this. We're in discussion, of course, with the ministry around that. Well, the committee has asked us what recommendations can we put for increasing the water bond effectiveness in the water service delivery. I think this is actually the nexus of the really debate that I would like the portfolio committee to engage in here, and saying that if we have partnered the country as a developmental state and as a unitary state, the role of public entities, why they were created. Why are you subjecting institutions that you have created to support you to arrive at the development stage, subjecting them to the wheels of competition? That municipalities, when they like, they can engage with them, and when they don't like, they cannot engage with them. To me, that does not support the notion of a developmental stage, because then it means to say at any one stage, you with all the debt that you can have, the municipalities can have, decide to abandon you and go to other service providers. So I think that debate needs to be ended. And one specific recommendation that we're pushing out is that looking at the state of water provision, more especially in category B, local municipalities, it's our view that the water board should be the bulk of water providers in category B municipalities and allow these municipalities to focus on the retail business. I'm saying if somebody has been, for instance, in a place like Kosenjan, a hilly area, with all the standalone roller schemes, it takes a plumber 2 days to go and disappear with poor roads to go and repair a borehole there. And we're complaining about capacity. And about 240 standalone schemes in our town alone. So what type of resources are you going to be able, but you are still wanting to concentrate again on the bus business? We feel that that matter needs to be addressed. The other issue that we are proposing very strongly is the move away from this standalone scheme. They were fine for us in 1994, but the economy of this country is kicking up, and so as well as the support by the government to the rural communities. So standards of living are changing in the rural areas. So you can't get people to survive on 25 liters per person per day. The HIV/AIDS epidemic is actually casting and saying people, they must be supported with clean water to take their medication. None of the water that's coming in from the borehole is chlorinated. So when we're talking about blue flag status, it's history to the rural business. You'll never see that because the water will never meet your bacteriological requirements because it is not disinfected. Accentuated that again by the rural sanitation that we have, which is latrines and the possible contamination of underground resources. So these latrines would protect the poor, you would have one hub, and we'll be presenting to the portfolio committee the work that we've done for all our Chabo in Gizana, in terms of our product rest in Gizana and flex up and longer. That's a master plan that we've produced to assist our Chabo. We are quite saying that in the olden days, If you look at the landscape of the 1,066 municipalities before they were condensed to 86, each town almost had a small dam that was supported. And in this business, you cannot get sustainable water supply without a reliable water resource. So the DOE in the department will have to engage about making sure that some dams that can support water supply to local municipalities, that program, rather than maybe the mega dams approach is taken. We are also saying we are pleased by the department by having introduced the bulk infrastructure plan. But what is curious for us is that water boards that are bulk water providers in for the local municipalities are actually excluded from actual access in that plan. It's actually quite curious because the money was not to support local government, the money was to bulk infrastructure. So the bulk service provider should still have access and apply for that type of funding. We're saying throughout the whole world, the financing of the infrastructure is in terms of the treaties, your tariffs, your transfers, which is donor funding, and your taxes, which is actually the grant from the government. Now, if you look at the model that's driving the pricing in water boards, everything is based financed by tariffs. And against the 43 or 38 unemployment rate in the country, the load both to government and to the taxpayer, if we are not coming into appropriate financial model, it's going to be a big issue. So we're putting that address these issues needs to be looked at. The last and final thing is that the strengthening of the social compact between the executive authority and the water board, allowing for specific outcomes, not to say let's report on the annual basis. We have agreed that as water boards, you'll address deadlock in area B and C to that level of service. Those should be the type of social combats that we're able to report on as water boards. The last question that was raised was, what would be your view as water boards if you were to report to another ministry? Now, naturally, we've developed sort of a framework, an objective framework to answer that question. And that objective framework says that an effective water board has got 10 attributes, and those are 9 attributes, and those are the attributes that are put on that. And against those 9 attributes, with water resource adequacy, operational resilience, optimized employee leadership and infrastructure stability, financial viability, product quality, customer satisfaction, and stakeholder understanding and support. If you've got all those things, you're going to get institutions that work and deliver for this country. Where will we be able to get all that? Naturally, water resources adequacy is closer to the Department of the DAE. We are not sure how water resources linkages would be if we went to the old GDA, what would happen. Operational resilience is about also the ability to respond to climate change, because the systems must be robust enough to actually take sort of the adverse impact of the business. And we're saying that's our view. And if you look at it, besides, because this business is more than just stakeholder understanding and support, this business at the end of the day is about product quality, protecting the health of the citizens of this country, ensuring that we're able to deliver on that mandate. And our view is when we did that objective analysis, our view is that we need to still work with the Department of Water Affairs, but maybe just improve areas around stakeholder management and support so that we're able to move all together. And with that, thank you very much.
Thank you very much,
Bachelor
Professor Umgeni. Water Board. You said you are a new board, but there was one board who claimed that the new, the current environment is not acceptable. Thank you very much for that presentation. And also thanks for addressing some of the questions that were raised by, and questions that were raised by members of parliament, even before yesterday, when you were coming with the some of the issues are raised. And we are now going to take the Lipelle.
management. Some of our teams with our chief executive, Mr. Lavalle Navarro, who did the presentation, and assisted by Mr. Johan Kijian, who is the chief financial officer, and Mavis Mabonia, who is our general manager for the services. I'll hand over to the
thank you, Chairperson, members of the committee. Our presentation for Libelle Northern Water in Limpopo, we would like to, in our presentation, cover issues of establishment and areas of supply of the Libelle Northern Water, and also address the processes related to our bulk tariff determination and consultation, and make recommendations in respect of the challenges that we face in Limpopo province. Just in terms of the area of supply, Libelle Northern Water is mandated for bulk water service provision in the Limpopo province. There are specific areas that we currently are operating in, which is concentrated in the Greater Kukuli District Municipality, Capricorn District Municipality, Mobani District Municipality, and some parts of the Waterbed District Municipality. We are yet to still expand our services to the Vembe District Municipality in the north. And just in terms of establishment, the Libelle Northern Water was established in 1997. We are about 12 years old, following the amalgamation of three water boards that existed prior to 1994. We, from a management point of view, are assisted by seven board members and the executive team. Continuing on the area of supply that we are responsible for, there are various schemes in the districts that I mentioned we are covering that are supplying those particular municipalities or district municipalities, sourcing our water mainly from the Olifant River, which is the Libelle River, and some of the water we are sourcing from some smaller rivers like the Sterk River in the west. And also in the eastern side, on some of the smaller streams and smaller rivers. Our main customers are the municipalities of Bapalaborwa, Greater Letaba Municipality, Zanin Municipality, all of them situated in Mopani District, Polokwane Municipality, and all its rural areas, Capricorn District Municipality, and the Greater Kukuli District Municipality, where we are serving almost 92 rural villages using the Flatbush Yellow system from the Kanga River. Just a synopsis of the status of the customers that we serve. This slide just indicates the extent of unemployment in the four main district municipalities that we serve, and immediately indicates the challenge that we face as Libelle Northern Water and the municipalities that we serve in terms of recovering money from the customers, in particular the the villages that are in the rural areas of this district municipality. The two slides that I've indicated there, I'll just swiftly go through them because they just indicate the goals and objectives of the organization, the PELNE. But if I can just quickly go over to the issue of the day in terms of the impact of tariffs, increases and increments for the year 2009 and 10. For the PELNE Northern Water, like other water boards, the determination of tariff increments is based on the four main drivers, being the raw water charges that we get from the Department of Water and Environment Affairs, the electricity costs, the labor costs, as well as capital investments in the form of either upgrading of schemes and new schemes in our areas of supply. I must just indicate that when we started last year with the process of assessing tariffs for the 2009 and 10, the CPI was sitting at about 13.6, and we then went through the process of consulting with the municipalities and the relevant stakeholders to be able to come to a viable tariff adjustment for the 2009 and 10 financial year. Our consultation for tariff adjustment was done with the relevant institutions, concentrating on the water service authorities in particular. And this process started in October of last year, and we managed to conclude it towards the end of November in 2009. Our original approach in doing the consultation was with the municipalities, particularly those that we're serving with obviously potable water or drinking water, was to propose an increase of 6.5%. This is indicated on the third column of the table that I've just put on the slide. Potable water increase was for 6.5%. Which we engage the municipalities and the relevant stakeholders on. Mogalakwena Municipality agreed to the tariff of 6.5%. The other district municipalities of Mopani, Capricorn, Skukuri did not express any comment or view on the increase of 6.5%. We then, in consultation with the National Treasury and SAUGA, after getting their comments of getting the 6.5 increase, submitted to the Department of Water Affairs the request for potable water 6.5 adjustment. And we then received a response from the ministry, like all other water boards, for the 6.5% to be reduced for potable water to 3.8% increment for 9 and 10. Column number 5 of the slide indicates the new tariffs that will then be charged by us based on all the schemes. On the basis of the 3.8% increase. Impact-wise, for the PELNE Northern Water, raw water in our tariffs comprises only about 6% of the overall charges from the Belgian Northern Water, and hence that did not really have much of a big impact eventually in terms of the plans that we have for the area in terms of investing and infrastructure rollout for the organization. We found that the 3.8% will only affect the Belgian Northern Water to the tune of only 4 million rand over the whole year. So it will not necessarily have much of a big impact on the rollout plan that we have for the program. This slide, Chairperson, just briefly indicates the trend in terms of potable water and the types of increases that we have for the coming year as well as this current year. The next slide also indicates the increases for the industrial water and industrial consumer that we have for the in the organization. Our chairperson just quickly go through some of the challenges that we are facing. And we will also expand more on these challenges, particularly in terms of how we dealt with them in the annual report presentation in next week. Most of them are in relation to infrastructure, and there is slides, about four slides that we have given to members that indicate and detail the infrastructure plan that we have for the organization in the coming 5 years. And the last slide that I want to present to Chairperson is on service delivery efficiency, which we believe as the Belgian Northern Water, it is important that the processes that have already been started in respect of reform within the water sector be sped up. And in particular for us in the Belgian Northern Water of Limpopo to be assisted in the finalization of raw water permits and licenses, particularly in view of the increased demand for water within our area of supply. That the demand that we are currently experiencing from the municipalities is constantly outstripping the allowed permits of extraction from the rivers that we are getting water from. I think, Chairperson, the other challenges that we have, which is also very important, particularly from an efficiency point of view, is the deteriorating raw water quality, and that we need to improve on that because it then affects our operational ability from the cost point of view. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. That was the Belgian Water Board. I think we have saved all the boards, then we open for questions because time is against us. And please, I would like to ask the other presenters not to talk to their presentations. You know, this thing has been prepared, so just not talk to each and every page so that we can take the 10 minutes that we allocated to. So if there are some other issues that you think that we would not bring to our attention, we still have a short on the statement 14 where we can address some of the issues. Mahan.
Good morning to all members present, honourable members and colleagues in the sector. My name is Ulla Makango, I'm the member of the board. Our chairperson is about to be here. lot of other commitments. I'm joined by our acting CEO, and Managing Accountant, who will be giving the presentation.
Thank you very much, Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, Honorable Members, Chairpersons of all the water boards, colleagues. Once again, greetings from Rustenburg, and I will be presenting on behalf of my other daughter. Looking at the Mapalis Water as an organization, we are operating and established under the Water Services Act. We were established in 1969, and basically this year we got 40 years old. Originally we were called Falco Water Board, and in terms of the Public Finance Management Act, we are classified as a Schedule 3B public entity. And basically our primary activity is provision of bulk water services to municipalities, but we also perform secondary activities in relation of biosanitation services to municipalities. Our main process of raw water extraction is in the Pinas River, in the east, and Crocodile River in the northwest. And looking at the municipalities that we serve, the Mutimula local municipality, Nogen Bataimani Tabazindi, Muduskota local municipality, Rasenberg, Bela Bela, and City of Twani. And our area of supply spans over four provinces, which is Limpopo, Mpumalanga, Northwest, and Arapat of Gauteng. And to just the map of our area of supply. And basically, this is just another graphical presentation of our area of supply with the yellow triangles showing our sources of raw water extraction, and the green lines showing where our pipelines are. And basically, in terms of the funding philosophy, we are a self-funding entity, meaning that we do not rely on government grants or subsidies. Therefore, that being the case, meaning that we should be in a position to accumulate sufficient reserves to be an ongoing entity. Basically, this means that even though we are a public entity, we should operate on a commercial basis, and our operations should be based on business principles. And then looking at Section 42 of the MFMA, which actually necessitates us to embark on a very robust consultation process when increasing our tariffs, we have done that. We have consulted with all our customer municipalities. And we also consulted at international levels with FAMA and Mishra Treasury. And something that is very positive that came out of this process was that with our customer municipalities, there was a general acceptance to our tariff increases. We obtained several inputs and written comments from FAMA, as well as National Treasury, which will be implemented going forward. And we in our consultations, we said that from the government's point of view, Section 42 of the MFMA is critical in as far as transparency is concerned, meaning that we should be transparent in terms of the cost drivers that involve our tariffs. And we also look at issues of accountability and reporting in as far as fiscal matters are concerned. And what we said was that with municipalities and other stakeholders, we should
construct and operate in an environment that would encourage cooperative government. And what we considered in terms of our tariff determination process was the national water pricing strategy, which actually informed the increase in our raw water costs. Administered prices, meaning that the price of water as one of the basic commodities should be regulated by national government, meaning that we cannot actually leave the price of water to be determined by the market forces of demand and supply. Otherwise, the price of water would be very excessive or would be very expensive. And we also look at the issue of affordability to end consumers, meaning that the increases that we pass on to municipalities would ultimately lead to the end consumer benefiting. And we also look at the principle of sustainability, meaning that we should be at a position, at the water board, to be in a position to recover our costs and recover our capital costs over a period of time. And we also took what we consider to be the reasonable rate of inflation into account. And then the tariff principles, our charge structure is composed of fixed charges and normal operating and maintenance charges. And we actually charge the skin-based tariff. We apply from four different bulk water schemes situated throughout different provinces. And from each and every scheme, we charge different tariffs. Due to different conditions associated with those particular schemes. And basically the process that we followed was that we computed all the costs and we benchmarked this data with our historical information, and we determined what the unit costs are. We also performed the cash flow projections. And in as far as municipalities are concerned, we were also in the position to provide to them, you know, what the proper tariffs would be in the next 4 to 5 years. And just turning to the tariffs that were proposed by the Department of Water, Earth and Forestry, the department proposed an increase of 17% on our raw water charges, where the initial proposal was 22%. And as you can see, that raw water tariffs is one of the major cost drivers. In as far as our input costs are concerned. If you can see the from our different schemes, one for raw water charges 69 cents, and from Balmer 34 cents, Clipperson 8 cents, and Kazin 59 cents per kiloliter. And the challenges that we faced during the consultation process was that economic indicators may change because you plan very well in advance, you know, before the tariffs take effect. And what we are seeing is that some of the components of the pricing strategy were a challenge to us, particularly when you look at the component of PPI plus 10%. We are seeing that this particular component fundamentally drives the increase of raw water costs to be above inflation. And looking at the issue of regulation in the whole supply chain, robust regulation only takes place at the bulk water level. And some of the cost drivers that actually determine our tariffs increased by more than what the government inflation targets are and by more than what the inflation was. And also due to the minister's directive to reduce our bulk water tariffs, we lost revenue to an amount of 11 million. And just looking at the potential impact of the economic recession, here I should just mention that we have not yet felt the impact of recession, but basically what we are seeing is that due to the recession, these are the potential challenges that we may face looking at the strategy, because some of our industrial consumers, especially the mines, might end up decreasing demand due to issues of downsizing. And looking at water, as a basic commodity, demand may increase. However, looking at that in relation to the reduction in the income of households, that can affect affordability of water by the end consumers. And just looking at the viability and implementation of intended and effective development plans in respect of new infrastructure, viability thereof might be affected and there might be delays in the implementation thereof. And basically, due to reduced demand, you might end up not benefiting from the economies of scale, you know, therefore leading to high input costs. And you might end up in a position also where you have idle infrastructure because you'd be not using your infrastructure to the maximum capacity. And just looking at the impact of the proposed tariffs, we are of the view that our tariffs are still affordable, you know, particularly looking at the end consumers. And since our tariffs are a component in the whole supply chain, and the impact also will also depend on what the municipalities would basically pass to the end consumer. And basically, then we are showing what the tariffs were for the 8-9 financial year and what the increase in tariffs has been to the 9-10 financial year. And basically, we have proposed a weighted tariff increase of 7% from the initial 12% that was proposed. And basically, before I close, I think Chair, I should just mention that some of the strategic challenges that we face in terms of service delivery would be addressed by the acting chief executive during the presentations that would be made on the ALVA report. And I thank you.
Thank you very much. I think today you are more flexible than yesterday. We are going to take Michelle Kunze. We need to finish by 10 past 11 so that it's open for questions. We have 2 minutes the next. Members of the committee, leaders at large, good morning. My name is Lindy Shamin. I'm the acting GM Finance. I'm from Sheffield Water. In order for us to achieve and respond to the letter that was sent to us, we have the proposed agenda, which basically talks to the tariffs proposed by DWARF, the impact on Sheffield Water, challenges during the consultation achievement by the Talking Participants and the impact of tariffs on end users. The Board of Consultation was proposed an increase of 18%, which was obviously informed by the cost drivers that Consultation was going to initiate, and as well as the fact that the rate that Consultation is currently charging is actually lower, considering the fact that infrastructure is actually servicing industries and some of the municipalities, which is a smaller component of infrastructure. I've also given the increase in terms of what the past rates have been charged, basically 10% in 2009, 2000, the increase in 2007 and 2008, which is 5.9%. We were asked the interpreter to give details as to the motivation of the cost and the tariff that we have proposed. The word deliberations between DWARF Water Board and SALGA in Johannesburg to deliberate on the matter tariff. Finally, the minister came back and gave us an approval of 14%, which was 4% lower than the initial rates that was proposed by the impact on the water as a result of the 4% shortfall that we had. The
following issues were considered. Nkatu is currently having an upgrade of the embedded plant to the value of 168 million at design value. Obviously, these costs have to be factored in the tariff. Furthermore, there's also new capital for consumers and connections of about 308 million. There's also has been a sharp increase in the cost of chemicals, which is a major component of cost that we have to incur based on the nature of our business. And also, when we were looking at the tariff, an absolute increase in electricity of about 25% was used as a basis. However, we have been told that the increase will be about 1.3%, and that would have a huge impact on the bottom line for about 1.9%. While we were preparing for the tariff, the 18%, the inflation was sitting around about 208 about 13%. And also the interest rate that we used in the funding was also assumed to be at 12%, considering the fact that the current funding interest that we are currently paying is about 13.6. All these factors that obviously impacted on the tariff that we have suggested had an impact in terms of the 2010 figures. We have done a split in terms of the raw water, the purification, the buoyant effluent, and the dense effluent. The purification, particularly looking at the plant, the raw water purification plant, which is currently being extended, which I've also referred to in the previous slide, that there are costs that we are incurring of about 168 million. There's also the buoyant effluent, which is our A line, the line that are actually used by Fosco, and the dense effluent, which is our B line. The tariff of 14%, basically the impact on the results for the year, when you look at the different themes as highlighted in the slide, there is a loss that is going to be there for the year, which is 5.2 million, which is a huge amount. For the purification plant, the plant will remain profitable for 10.5, and the buoyant effluent 5 million. The dense effluent will also incur a loss of about 4 million. In total, though, we will come out with a positive balance of about 6.3. But also, I need to highlight the fact that the retained reserve over the years would obviously need to be considered, because our plants are old, the infrastructure is old, as well as there's a lot of spending in terms of infrastructure development. My colleagues, when they report on the annual report, they will give the details in terms of the project that Infratuzo Water will be embarking on, which attests to the view that as Infratuzo Water, we have begun to start spending the money that has been allocated as we have been budgeting for over the past year. Although this is a process that was actually started robustly from September last year, if I may put it that way. The retained reserve is an area of concern, because we are required as the water board to be able to fund ourselves, because we should be having 30% funding before we actually go out. We have had fantastic assumptions for year 2010, 2011, pardon me, and 2012, as well as 2013, and the percentages are reflected there. We then thought it would be appropriate to look at 2013, because some of the schemes that Infratuzo will be having, the schemes that we have, some of them, they are coming to an end, and we thought it would be important to see what the impact of the tariff it would have on the 2013. The results for the year, I'm just going to go straight to the results. We see that there is profit from the scheme that was previously making a loss of about 2.6. the purification, there is a lot in the theme of 7.6, and the buoyant affluence, there's the profit, which looks a little bit higher from the previous year, of 30.9. This is based on an assumption that we are going to get a new client on board, and we are going through the process currently and reviewing and making sure that we push and get this client to come on board. And that would be a better figure. The dense affluent is 7.4, and the total debt drop is 33.3. I want to emphasize the fact that the cost structure, we are seeing a huge increases on the different cost drivers of the nature of the business that we have to start. Particularly when you look at the labor component, your chemicals, as well as the energy, which is a cost that actually comes through more during the dry season because of the work that needs to be done in order to draw the water. The challenges that we had during the consultation process, obviously the current relative economic condition experienced by our clients played a major factor during the consultation process, as they are also trying to cut down costs in order to survive these challenging times. A lower rate was obviously expected by the client, but when one looks at the nature of the clients that we have to or rather the type of the clients that we have to have, your monies, your force cost, as well as the bargaining, it is quite clear that these clients are currently challenged because some of them they actually work with the export most of their products, but they are feeling the strain. And also, in terms of the achievement, the MW tariff was accepted by the local municipalities after various consultations. The notice, the letter of notice of the 14% increase has been communicated to all the consumers timely, and as such, we are going to be able to start billing the clients the new rate effectively from the 1st of July. The consultations with industrial consumers regarding the data upgrade and the resultant improved quality of the water have indicated that there is a data upgrade which will ensure that the water that sells is of a better quality. And with this upgrade of data, we are going to be able to achieve that. And just by the use of the water tariff in the light of the global economic tariff, there is a concern about the fact that we will have to be able to fund the capital projects that we've actually tendered in Satuze, and also the reserve that we should be having in Satuze for the project, and also to maintain the current infrastructure would pose challenges to the organization. This obviously impacts on the cash flow that Satuze would need. And just also to mention the fact that the local municipality is experiencing low growth in consumption, thereby affecting the demand of Satuze water from Satuze water. And also to mention that the paper pulp exporter is experiencing a reasonable global demand. That basically means that Satuze will be covered in terms of sustainability as an organization. But the main concern is that the aluminum exporters are experiencing large drops in demand. But in the bigger scheme of things, the aluminum exporters charge that Intertube is giving them for the water is insignificant, so probably they won't be able to fund and pay us as an organization, thereby ensuring our sustainability. The impact of tariffs to end users, Intertube is a consumer base of 125,000, and the demand projections for households show a moderate increase in the consumption over the 3 years, therefore impacting on the revenue that Intertube will be generating over the next coming years. Consumers will incur an additional increase in cost as they are already strained due to the global economic crisis when we are looking at the impact that it has on the consumer. There's also an inability to grow and sustain their business as the majority of their clients are more affected by the economic meltdown and the fact that I mentioned earlier on about the export market. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you very much. What about in say Namaka?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Namaka Water Board is unlike the other water boards. It's situated in a semi-desert area. It's a very arid area, and the population is it's the least dense in the country. So I just want to emphasize that fact beforehand. You see the pump water about 200 kilometers. The main customers are now going to get. The water board has never been financially viable, but it has been assisted by the mining. That's basically the area. The town's water are delivered to Pinecroft and Concordia, which is mainly rural communities for subsistence farmers and migrant workers. Navarro keeps grows there, the previous mining town that has been a mine that has closed down. And thanks to the Vietnam Welcome Mine, which shed about 2,500. Of the 3,000 jobs in the past 12 months. As you can see, our water sales decreased the past few years, and it will further decrease the devastating of the years. Just looking at the comparable operating performance, this is just the operating cost, it's not other costs like depreciation, the income recognition of debt. As you can see in the past year, we weren't being able to pay our ESCOM accounts and other accounts. We had to get a grant from the district instead. Just looking at the cost, the covering of the actual cost, once again, that's just operating cost, and it's based on the volume sold. If you can look there, the shortfall has increased ever since. We had a consultation process. We obviously went to our customers first, and they only requested 10% of adjustment. We had a meeting with the National Treasury and DWAF, and they just asked for first inflation adjustment. The Department of Water says approved the 73% increase in our tariff, which will still leave the 1 million in shortfall for the current increase. For the water board. The water board realized that the tariff increase of 73-78% is not possible for the community that is very much being negatively affected by closing down of the mines in recent times. We have been engaged with all spheres of government, various departments in the past few years. And just to answer the question of the Honourable Member yesterday, we haven't got any support from any department. Thank you.
Thank you.
thank you very much. You touched on all the points that the committee are interested in. I wish every board can be like that. Touch on the crucial issues that we need to understand as members of this committee. There is no doubt that Namaha water board is challenging, but the intention is to allow to assist those boards. It's not to allow those boards to assist them. Some of the issues that have been raised are issues beyond their own making. There's nothing that they can do about that. Then the government must then try to do something. That means ourselves then. I think this is one of the best presentations because we touch on issues that we want to hear. This is what we don't want to hear these other things that we are being told about. This is what we want to hear. What is this that is happening there? What are the challenges? You know? And then it's clear from everybody who are here, the present member of the parliament, that there are serious challenges when it comes to the function of this board. Thank you very much for that. Let's take
good morning, all. My name is Nathan Williams. I'm the chairperson for Cabot Drift Water, but I'm also a full-time employee of Black Mountain Mine. Just an indication of where Cabot Drift is. You can see we're not far from Namaka Water, that's about 100 kilometers. Cabot draws water from the Orange River. 12 megalitres per day, and we have a license for 15 megalitres per day. And we supply water to the Kaima municipality and neighboring farmers, as well as Black Mountain Mine. The water board was formed primarily to supply water to Black Mountain Mine, and you can see that more than 90% of the water is to Black Mountain Mine. Within the Kaima municipality, including the Upper Nice town, which is a mine town, there's about 8,500 people. The water board has been in existence for almost 30 years, and is now in dire need of infrastructure repairs and refurbishment. The bulk water supply to Kaima includes the Upper Nice Telakopa system, and the others are, as I mentioned, the neighboring farmers, as well as we have a service agreement with the Kaima municipality. We signed it in 2007, and we supply, or we guarantee that the interruption will be less than 36 hours. We only had in the last 3 years only one interruption, which was for 20 hours. The dispute process is well defined, and we have now to find new contacts with the newly elected council. In terms of what drives our tariffs, you can see that the biggest charges are raw water charges, salaries, and power. And we are working on reducing both the operational expenses and power. the tariff for 2007 was quite low. Historically, there have actually been years where tariff increases were entirely omitted because of the community of Tela of independent communities, mainly supported by the rural farmers. We were able to increase the tariff by 7% in 2008-2009. And in 2009-2010, we're suggesting another 7% increase for the municipality, but for the mine, and 80% increase. The impact of the tariff, of the 7% tariff, has been that despite us being able to keep the same sort of revenue, our operational costs have increased, and we still made a loss. This is the third year running we've made a loss since the miners decided not to subsidize the water board any further. And our only avenue for increasing or coming back to financial break even is to increase our tariff, which is advice we got from National Treasury. And so the 80% increase increases our revenue going forward quite substantially, which then brings us back into the sort of break-even situation, and the reserves then are sufficient to actually finance the capital that we need going forward. So the picture in 2007, if you look at the reserves, and we had forecasted losses all the way through. The total capital is about 40 million, as we said, the research. That picture has now improved in the sense that the mine has agreed to the 80% tariff increase, and we will now be able to fund the capital from the reserve. Treasury, as I said, insisted that we include the capital tariff, but then we also have independent communities, and that's why we have a separate pricing strategy. Some of the consultation challenges was that there was a Zuma and Beki faction in the Kano municipality. resulting in the municipal office actually being closed for more than 2 months. So that was really difficult. Currently, in the current year, Kaima, well, again, part of the political situation was that the previous executive mayor was ousted from the council, he has been sued to the municipality, and the equitable share is now being used to pay legal costs instead of the water board. As I said, we need to refine the power board supply again. As I said, Black Mountain has replaced the box group that needs to 8% tariff increase. And the capital work can be a little bit continued. Black Mountain Mine, the primary customer, is in key for closure in about 7 years' time. But there's also a new mining development 20 kilometers from Black Mountain, which could be a 40-year life mine. And it's called Comfort. And Anglo is working on that at the moment. We'll only have a clear picture on that in about 2010. Just in terms of the long-term plans, we need to get to back to financial break-even, and also the synergies between Namakwa itself, reduce the water losses and work on the energy, which is a standard driver, and we have no objection to the falling out of different ministries, because it will only mean that the water board and the municipality work closer together. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yours was very much unique. It has to do with politicians and everything. You don't even mind that you can take it to any minute. Perhaps that's why I had a joke with some of you. They called me directly. They said, I told the officer, please, you don't want to go there. So, yeah, no, thank you very much for the aid. But that was good. Thanks very much, Sam. Yeah. The next one is and the last one after is overbreak. And then after overbreak, we'll take just 5 minutes for National Treasure. And I would like to clean them with their shop and any other things out of Langalesi workshop. And then also the department, I would like you to have a written response for the statement reporting on all the things that have been raised by the current body. That is the department to come up with a response to the workshop.
Good morning, Chairperson, members of the committee, colleagues. We welcome this opportunity and we hope we can develop the same sort of working relationship with the committee that we had in the past. We try to comply as strictly as possible to the committee guidelines of the transition. There were various questions raised, and we were specifically requested to give a broad overview of what it is all about. We in Overberg, we serve mainly the Overberg region as such, which covers from Botterfield in the west to Roosevelt in the east, Langeberg Mountain in the north, and to the coast in the south. Over there. But what is significant is that the main economic sector in this area is agriculture. And consequently, it is also the major job creator in this sector, which ultimately leads to poverty alleviation. If Overberg were not to function optimally, it will affect everybody in this region, and perhaps most needy will suffer. Our client base is primarily the agricultural sector, but there is a reasonably stable and a good income level within our area. We serve something like 6,500 square kilometers, but our pipeline is unique. Our pipeline is unique in that we have to transport our product over approximately 1,500 kilometers. This unfortunately leads to very high maintenance and refurbishment costs. I'm happy to announce yesterday Honorable Morgan requested the status of debt within the water board. We have very little short-term debt from any of our long-term clients, and we must say that the municipalities in our area are very good at settling their debt. The origin of the scheme started way back in 1982, and in 1993 it was amalgamated with two further schemes under the banner of Overberg Water. You can gather therefore that our infrastructure is minimum 25 years and in some cases 30 to 35 years old. It makes it absolutely necessary that refurbishment and maintenance is in dire need. We have to take into consideration that previously this was a government scheme and therefore no necessity for in the first 10 years for any maintenance or refurbishment, because whatever was acquired was simply provided by government. Unfortunately, it's meant that we at Overberg have to play a catch-up game. There is a backlog that we have to deal with, and unfortunately, the only way that we can deal with this is through our tariffs. We basically serve three municipalities in the area. Devas Kruth, Regalis, Ramanachari 4, and Hesakua. We provide bulk potable water to some of the towns like Haliland, Heidelberg, and Slangerfield. But we also provide some bulk potable water to one or two of the towns not quite within our municipal jurisdiction, which is the town of Vistans and up until recently Arniskin. Then the major bulk supply that we do is actually done on a retail basis. This is rendered to commercial farmers in the rural area for stock watering. They need to use potable water because most of their product is exported to the EU. And that is a very strict requirement. With regard to the agreements with municipalities, we cannot stress highly enough how important this is, and regrettably we have to report this as one of our major challenges. We have held numerous discussions with the municipalities, and on occasion we have even sought the assistance of the department of DPLG, of SELGA, and even the portfolio committee. It is impossible for us to plan ahead our infrastructure refurbishment without having these agreements in place. We have now asked DRAF, or the department at least, that we now rely on their intervention to get this sorted out. We have a sliding scale for tariffs that encourages efficient water usage and conservation. This is clearly illustrated by some of the graphics that we have put in place here. But if a study of the sliding scale will clearly illustrate that the effective tariff for municipalities is determined by themselves, because this depends to a large extent on how efficient their water conservation is and their demand management. We've also included, as requested, the tariff structures of 2008-2009. And further on, there is a scale of what the effective tariffs will be after the minister's request. We have always and at all times followed the consultative process, and this was recently confirmed by an independent assessment by National Treasury, where we were given a clear look as far as our consultative process was concerned. The tariff increases that we proposed is in order to sustain our long-term sustainability. And therefore, we have to make provision for reserves to deal with the backlog referred to earlier. However, if our proposed tariffs is still very, very comparable to those tariffs of water boards such as RAND, Amatola, Ongeni, and Bloom, we have attached as proposed our tariff scales after the direction of the minister, as I mentioned earlier. It is absolutely essential for us to build reserves, because without those reserves we cannot go ahead with the infrastructure that badly needs to be refurbished and also the maintenance work. In a statement yesterday by Mr. Wouda, I would just like to confirm that we targeted 3.6 million and we have in fact used all of that target for our infrastructure refurbishment. We have complied with the Minister's directive to reduce the proposed tariff increases by 5%. The impact is going to be quite a considerable as far as overbooked water is concerned, because it necessarily will raise our risk profile because of certain refurbishment programs that will have to be put on the back burner. However, we have initiated alternative funding, and hopefully we have requested the Minister's permission to proceed with this, and hopefully the Minister and the Department will approve our application to access alternative funding. Recently, the minister suggested, that we should restructure our long-term loans. This is an excellent suggestion that you would put forward to the portfolio committee, that the department could perhaps write off the $1.2 million a year that we pay them for the original cost of transferring the schemes to overdraft. Finally, or penultimately, our recommendations would be one. There is inconsistency between the legislation that governs the water boards and the municipalities, and we need some clarity as far as the interpretation of that legislation is concerned. We need to rationalize the supply of bulk and retail, because at the moment we have overbuilt supply both bulk and retail, and some of the municipalities do likewise. We need national cooperation between water boards and municipalities, and this will eliminate the duplication of essential services such as quality control, which we have to do on a daily basis anyway. And finally, we need to get the institutionalization finalized, because this has been going on for a long time now. Overbrook Water will function optimally, irrespective of the ministry in which it is operates, provided we have the corporate governance in existence, we have cohesive national policy, we have clear directives on the implementation of policies, and we build partnerships in long-term planning. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. That was the overview, once more. Without any waste of time, for the time of running, we'll take then the National Chairman, just to take us through for 5 minutes to the rest, and I'm going to report on everything that we were expecting to get us from the workshop. And after the National Chairman, I'll open for members then for 25 minutes. And if some of the sessions won't have time to respond to the department and the board, we have to take those over to the restaurant. So we're expecting the board to have some of their senior managers to be part of the workshop a week from now. Next question.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to make the presentation. I'll try to do the best in the 5 minutes given to ourselves. We're just going to get the presentation to on the system. Thank you very much. Now to be on time. Okay, this is the other line of overview of our presentation. And these are the issues that we will be covering. It was the issue that was raised yesterday, and I think it's quite. Differentiate the two roles, because there's two primary players in the water sector where some of the responsibilities are purely vested with national government, and that is actually the catchment, not water, and all the actions related to that. But very important and very related to today's discussion is where we deal with portable water, and that deals both with the bulk side as well as the distillation side. And there's actually three types of players in the field. It's more complex than just saying it's water boards and municipalities. So actually it's the water boards that's semi-responsible for bulk, some of them providing some distillation functions as well. But then what you also get is that not a uniform system with respect to municipalities. You get certain district municipalities that authorize for water and sanitation, and you get some local municipalities that authorize for water and sanitation. And there's a very particular reason why I'm mentioning those issues, because the grants go to, and the transfers go to the municipalities that authorize for the service, be it the infrastructure grant or be it also the operating grant. Then what's important as well is the one that provides the actual service or the retail that actually then gets the tariff. We currently get 45 district municipalities authorized and 55 local municipalities authorized. But you do get instances where the district municipality is authorized, where the local provides services. You do get instances where the district municipality is authorized, where both the district and the local municipality providing services. So it gets quite complicated. It's not just an issue of sorting out the relationship between the water board and the municipality. It also requires sorting out the relationships between the respective local municipalities. The community water boards, where there's no service delivery agreements between the water boards and the municipality, we also get instances where there's no service delivery between the district municipalities and the local municipalities. For example, then the funds will flow to the authorized municipality, but say that, for example, the district, but the local will be providing the retail function and the poor households, but they don't have access to the equitable share. We strengthened the Division of Revenue Act, where we actually make it compulsory, as well as in one of the schedules, to actually provide a breakdown where district municipalities authorize the water and sanitation allocation for each local municipality within that. It's the first year that we've had to under this type of detail, and as time goes past, we would like to actually strengthen that provision. Then, very importantly, another issue that was raised that I think is important to be raised as well. The issue was raised quite frequently yesterday that municipalities do not pay for the bulk water charges. I would like to alert members to section 37.1c of the MFMA, which makes it very clear that municipalities must promptly meet all financial commitments towards other municipalities as well as national and provincial organs of state, which includes water boards. In cases where a water board provides an economic service or where people can pay for the water service, they can actually recoup that through tariffs. In cases where they serve the poor, they can use a portion of the equitable share. It's part of the cost of providing the service. We are aware that there are problems in this regard, and most probably national government, and it's not just National Treasury and Department of Water Affairs, Environmental Affairs, but also Department of Corporate Governance and Traditional Affairs that will need to look at these issues. Because often it's not just the issue of the water not being paid, it's often a sign of a bigger problem within municipalities as a whole, where they also do not pay for other bulk providers and other creditors as well. And it actually points to financial problems within a municipality. So if you deal with the issue, you need to deal with a bigger problem. Then with regard to National Treasury's role, section 41, 42 and 44 applies. Again, yesterday the issue was mentioned that there is provision in section 44 of the MFMA for national departments to assist water boards with its problems. Water boards are also required to report to us first, the municipality and the water board at the first instance should try to solve their own problems. If that proves to be problematic, they can call on national government, of course, with some clear-cut evidence that they've tried their utmost best to solve the problems by themselves. We've had two recent successes where we've actually assisted water boards to actually deal with the arrears, like in bulk charges and the like. But what we're also agreeing with is that National Treasury is within ourselves improving our own capacity together with the Department of Water Affairs to actually strengthen our capacity and support the municipalities in this regard. Then with regard to section 42, and I won't be going through the whole slide, I think just what is very important, and I would like to raise this issue, what makes it very difficult for, I'm sure it's not just ourselves, but also the Department of Water Affairs as well as SOGA, it allows the submission to receive in terms of section 42. If to put it bluntly, it's not really up to standard. We've had some submissions where they request an X percent increase. Now, what do you do with a document like that? When section 42 of the NFMA makes it very clear what type of information is provided in that request. We also sit with situations where the information that the Water Board provides to us is slightly contradictory. What's in their corporate plan is not in line with the application. We also get certain submissions that's very, very late. I think we need to compliment Rand Water here. They always, the last few years, have been the first ones to actually provide the input. We always receive it even before November. But we've also got, unfortunately, some cases where we received it very late. I didn't want to name and shame, but the latest, or the last one we got this year, we received 5 January 2009, which really makes it very difficult to do decent follow-up and actually deal with the issues at hand. All the issues raised during these presentations, we look at a number of issues when we actually deal with the application. We look at the sustainability of the Water Board, we look at the affordability for service providers and authorities such as municipalities, and we also look at end consumers and the affordability. And based on that, we support 4 applications as submitted. We partly supported 2 applications where we approved a portion of it and then recommended that other portions be scaled down. We proposed decreases for 7 Water Boards, and believe it or not, we even proposed an increase for 1 Water Board as well. The reason why we proposed an increase is it's very important that the Water Board also be sustainable, and if they undercharge on tariffs, it can actually result in them experiencing financial problems in future. Because it's important for us not just to look at the tariff at hand, but also the longer term viability of the Water Board. And if you can just make a plea to Water Boards in future as well, if you look at the Municipal Finance Management Act requirements, it requires that Water Boards provide us a 3-year tariff, and not just a tariff for the next financial year, which makes it also better to do long term planning. Looking at the viability for Water Boards, but also for municipalities to actually take it into account when they do their own projections as well. I'll quickly go to the next slide, but I think it's just extremely important to highlight that Water Boards are very different. It can actually put them most probably into 3 groupings, and most probably there would be quite a strong relationship between the size of the budget, the size of profits, and also then the state where those Water Boards are in. The biggest, we've got 2 very large Water Boards, Grand Water and Ngeni, and then we've got 4 exceptionally small Water Boards, and then we've got the Water Boards in between. National Treasury has used 3 types of categorization. We think we've got strong Water Boards or established Water Boards that can largely function on their own. It's really very strongly, in terms of infrastructure rollout, long-term planning and the like. They've been a good example of this with Rand Water. Then you get Water Boards that's starting to show signs that they're getting to that stage, but they're not there yet. So they show some of those characteristics, but not all. But then you get the very small or emerging Water Boards, and Namako Water would be one where they really just have quite a lot of challenges, which they find out that quite strongly themselves. Just at the bottom of Namako Boards, there's a strong relationship, and it's not unique to Water Boards, the same as applies to municipalities as well. There's a strong relationship between the viability of a Water Board as well as the municipality, as well as the areas which you may fall. Fall within an area that's relatively poor and densely populated people, then they would struggle to actually provide a service compared to much larger urban areas as well. And that's some of the realities that exist within the country that we need to deal with. And I think we've gone through those. The challenges that we've identified explicitly, I've already mentioned poor, and the water boards themselves also mentioned the issues. The location has got a large impact, the number of clients you serve, the input costs, your infrastructure quality, how much investment has been done in it, your state of your balance sheet. And then also very important, and it's an issue that we need to deal with, is it's often very difficult to determine who's funding who. And also, of course, the point that's mentioned is that there's often not service delivery agreements in place between the various stakeholders. Of course, we've got some proposals of how we should take this issue forward. Some of them have also been raised by water affairs and environmental affairs. And importantly, we need to strengthen our regulation, not with respect to water boards only, but also with respect to municipalities. And some of the issues have been raised. How do you actually approach it to regulate tariffs of municipalities in spending, persons of autonomous wheels? The same challenges are experienced in the electricity sector. It's generally done through norms and standards, and we need to explore how we can strengthen the norms and standards to do that type of regulation. The issue that was also mentioned is institutional realignment is extremely critical and important. In order to provide water as well as electricity profitably, we need to have a certain type of customer grouping so that you can achieve economies of scale and scope. And it's going to be taken further than just saying, let's look at consolidation. It doesn't necessarily mean that you actually amalgamate everyone together. It can mean that you actually find service delivery between the various institutions concerned. Again, very importantly, tariffs must be appropriately costed. If it's undercharged, a water board must be unviable, same applies to municipalities. And I think that's about everything that needs to be said. Thank you very much for the time. I hope I didn't go over too much.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That was the presentation by the National President. We are still going to discuss and debate this issue at the workshop because there are many important issues that we've raised that is actually respond to some of the issues that I know that members of parliament are going to raise. Now the time is about 12:25. I'm going to open for members for 10 minutes to raise questions and concerns and maybe some of their questions. I need also to ask them that we need to note them, and if we don't get a satisfactory response from the board and national treasurer, we can say that we will deliver it in the coming workshop. I open now for 10 minutes for members of parliament to ask questions. I have only one round, so ask everything that you'd like to ask, then I'll give the remaining 10 minutes for responses, and then that will be the end of our today's meeting. I have recognized Men Lude, Honorable Morgan, Honorable Mistress, and Honorable Dadimu Ege, and the rest of the
time. My mother just wants to make a recommendation before we go to questions, that we maybe take a quick 10 minutes to break. Then we come back and then give the question so that we know after that session. I just wanted to make that recommendation.
You know, today at 12 o'clock, the House is sitting and we're supposed to be there for voting for the resolution of the SABC board. It's today at 12. So I don't want my board to be dissolved. So I want to make sure that we finish the business
so we can fight. Yeah.
Okay, so thank you, Mama. I think I want us to finish by 12 o'clock because from 12 o'clock there will be something like 10 minutes just for parties to make whatever. Maybe debate or something like that, but a very short one. And then from then we start voting. So I will come to this side, but I recognize that you must have a side. Okay, then we get.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. You know, there's a comment that we've made earlier, Chair,
and I think I need to actually allude to that. You know, that says that water boards must understand that the portfolio committee's responsibility is actually an oversight one. And I think one then needs to understand to say what is that oversight role, therefore the portfolio committee. So that when you bring the information, you don't bring the niceties that one the people to be appeased about, but to bring in the real issues that you are grappling with, so that the portfolio committee can be able to assist on those. I just want to make that comment and pass it. And then I want to come to Mshafuzi water. I sympathize with the challenges. No, it's not in Shakota, by the way, it's in Namaka. It's in Namaka. I really sympathize with the challenges that the municipality is actually facing. But I've got some questions that I just want to pose to the chairman who was actually making presentation. Seemingly, he's the chairman, he's an acting CEO or whatever. Because I didn't see him being accompanied by other members of the board or the staff. And yet, when I'm looking at the cost per person, I have noticed that the percentage of the salaries are very high. And in my mind, therefore, I then have a question as to who is being paid? If we only have got the chairman here, who is being paid? Maybe that we need some explanation there, because the salaries and operating costs there are very high. I want to come to to the comment that was made by Overbeck, Chairperson, and I want to refer to the department actually, because both I think it's. I just want to check which water board it is. Umgeni also have made some recommendations here, Chairperson, that I thought are very relevant. And also, again, the Overbeck has also made some recommendations that for me I felt really need the attention of the department, and that the portfolio committee actually play that oversight role in making sure, in checking if the department will be able to take some of these recommendations, and if not, maybe to give us some reasons as to why. Because I expect that is a recommendation for me. If you are saying, Chairperson, that we need to assist these water boards, that some of these recommendations that have been tabled by some of these water boards here can go a long way in actually assisting them, and I think it will be our role as the portfolio committee to really assist them in actually being a pressure group to the department in making sure that some of these are taken seriously. I also want to comment on the treasurer, Chairperson. I think how they see the solution to some of these challenges is very refreshing to me when I was listening to the presentation just now. And I think, again, those solutions that Treasury sees can actually, again, go a long way in assisting, some of the problems that many of these water boards are facing. I think I will just leave it at that. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honourable Morgan.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you to the presenters. It was interesting to get a report by the Treasury, because I'm certainly sympathetic to the problems of the water boards as presented, and there are various commonalities that run through the presentation, but it's important to hear from the Treasury that certainly not all water boards are angels. I think there's very little we can do in such a short session, and we're going to have to engage with this topic more, but if there are, it seems to me that there are huge amount of problems facing the entire model of water boards. It is clear, and a number of water boards have said it, some were a little bit more cautious, that the Department of Water Affairs is not giving them the support that they need. That is a major problem. It's also clear that water boards aren't in all cases providing the clergy with the rigorous information that is required. So that is a problem as well. I mean, there were comments made here about, you know, the unique nature of water boards and where they should report to, you know, and their role in a developmental state, and they shouldn't be subject to competition. I mean, the problem here is that you can say that, but your inputs are all, you know, almost all of them, you know, come from the market in some sense, from, you know, your chemical inputs to labor, all of which are subject to market forces. The problem is, at the end of the day, the Department of Water Affairs tells you what, effectively, what your tariff is. So, you know, you have competitive inputs, and on the other hand, you are being stymied by not being able to invest significantly in your infrastructure. And it is a problem that bulk infrastructure grants aren't available, because, I mean, I'm not sure how you actually deal with that. Now, just a comment I want to reiterate, and these are really just comments, I'm only going to ask one question, is the fact that, I mean, there has to be a new funding model. The Water Services Act surely has to be reviewed. It seems to me, obviously, there's an imperative to make sure that poor users can access water. It is a basic human right, and that is really, quite frankly, non-negotiable. The tariff pressure that the Department of Water Affairs puts on you is also somewhat obscure in the sense that actually they are granted to municipalities to make sure that municipalities can pay for services to the indigent in those municipalities. So once again, I still see another stream coming through, funding stream, which isn't necessarily relevant to water boards. And I come back to the view that I think water boards are being unnecessarily penalized, because actually there are a number of imperatives that are simultaneous in South Africa. The free basic services to the poor, I agree, non-negotiable. But providing new access to water users, before stats, about 60% of some people in the municipality still getting water from streams, unacceptable. But it's not going to get better, actually, under the current funding model, when people have to cut back, water boards have to cut back on infrastructure grants. So that is a massive problem as well. So, Chair, I mean, it's obvious, and I know you agree, that this engagement has to be far fuller. But I am sympathetic to actually both the Treasury and the Water Board in this regard. And somehow, this committee and the Department of Water Affairs is going to have to take seriously a more sustainable funding model, because I can see the long term, there are two things that may happen. One is bulk water infrastructure is going to break down, which is going to be even more expensive to fix. And secondly, we're never going to actually get to the people who don't get that water. Just to be a little bit controversial, and we should do that, I'd like the Treasury to tell us who handed in their assessment last.
Thank you very much. Yeah, for starting for oversight. Honourable Vijayanala.
Honourable Chairperson. First of all, I would like to congratulate the Rand Water Board for their early submission. They must just keep it up. It's just because I come from the Rand. Chairperson, it's just a pity that Ndude has already alluded to what I have to mention. I'm saying it was so good and encouraging listening to the presenters putting across their report, you know. But I'm not very sure, I'm not so sure if these are the true reflections of what is happening there where presenters come from. Because really and truly, it is not fair for whoever brings tables and what to try and please the committee. Because it does happen. Many a time, through experience, it has happened. I'm not saying it's also unlikely, but what I'm just pleading with you, please bring the true reflection of what is happening back home. Opposite, you made mention of you are the agricultural project that you are running in your area. Maybe you can just explain, and if you have an interest in agriculture, what is actually happening? Is there any support that project gives to the community, and how? You made mention of reserve. I was not very clear on that. My question is just that when it comes to people like places like Umzingul, where they still get their water from the river, is there any possibility of providing water tanks to that?
Thank you very much, Mama. The next is Ndazili Yengu.
Thanks for my question. Without wasting time, I'm not going to be launched in the light of the fact that the previous member that has spoken just before me actually covered me to a large extent. And in that, the workshop is going to assist us in terms of getting deeper information and information sharing between ourselves, the department, and the board. But allow me to maybe raise a concern on the part of the department in terms of its relationship with the board. Because the oversight function that they do over the board, it is not enough to say. And they have actually made some findings around the submissions of the board. One of them is the one that says board submits late. I mean, that's not our role as a committee to hear that. We believe that the department should make sure that the board submits timely. It's us who are supposed to say what the department is saying in Parliament, that the board are submitting it, or the department is not considering the submission. I mean, there should be more on the part of the department in terms of assisting the board. Then lastly, the issue of Umgeni. Umgeni, understandably, has a plan to assist the overcome, and I need to get intervention or assistance on the part of the department and the arrangement in terms of ensuring that particular plan is in place, and also the response or the cooperation of our town with the municipality in the whole arrangement. And go to
Sir. Yeah, well, I hope the board are noting all these questions, because you might not have time today to respond to them, but on Tuesday, when you come here, before we start with the presentation on the annual report, we start with the responses to this question that has been raised by members. I've noted all those affected boards here, and I'm expecting them to respond to those questions. You know, the National Treasury, first thing on Tuesday when we meet, they are expecting you to respond to this question that has been raised by members. The last one would be,
Okay,
that is the last one.
Thank you very much.
Σε in order to access water from the servant of them to support the people around Almas River every day. Secondly, the people of Skokun, not Koktown, and the Pendega are also involved. Must you make use of water in the Koktown to assist those people around Tenelchen and other areas? So we've got a lot of water which is underutilized. Some are in Mavrol, watering crops, in vegetables and so forth. We need to come up with a policy that will assist these water boards and municipalities so that our people can access those water. So this is very important. We are not going to stay here discussing issues, not implementing. We are going to implement. And when you come to the Treasury Department or our department as well, there are a lot of challenges that are faced with by the water board. And some of them, they need an assistance from us, and they are not assisted. We've got municipalities, we've got financial problems, on those financial constraints having an impact to the people who are residing in the rural areas. How are we going to assist those municipalities in terms of paying their debt and so on? Very important. And one of the challenges, the regional offices of the department, there is an outcry since we started this workshop yesterday that the regional departments are not assisting them when they have got problems at water board. How can we best do in order to make sure that our regional offices are assisting this water board? I'll just end up there, but there are a lot of things that I would have been raised, yes. Thank you.
Thank you very much. If they are obliged to assist them, definitely they will have to assist them. That's our responsibility to make sure that they assist them. Thank you very much to members of parliament. We don't have time for responses now, but I'm still saying that on Tuesday morning we start with this very same process of responding to members. If members went through this a presentation and you come across some other issues that you'd like to have clarity on, I'm still going to open for something like an hour or 30 minutes to deal with those issues on Tuesday before we get into the actual presentation on the annual report. I will also then ask the board to make their presentation available for Tuesday by the end of the day on Friday. At least before members go for the weekend, they need to have those in order for them to be able then to go through your annual presentation as a meeting. Indeed, the report has been received by members, but it's the presentation that it is not received. So we're expecting you then to please avail that presentation to members. And by Friday, I think we've come to the end of this meeting. I would like the Rhine Water Board to just take a hand for 5 minutes with me, and then the rest can go with me. Thank you very much.